I'm going to show a couple videos here this morning. You can go ahead and pull. Can I get the lights turned off in the front at least? And you can pull up the Jesus Revolution trailer. Don't start it yet, but there you go. Just have it there, and I'll have you push play in a sec. So, how many of you have seen this movie? The Jesus Revolution. Okay. My wife talked about it already, but I really encourage everyone to go see it. It was so good. It was so well done. And here's why. Because, you know, there was a outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the 1960s, early 1970s, which is now referred to often as the Jesus movement or the Jesus people movement. And it was a significant move of God. Actually, many leaders who are leading in the body of Christ today got saved during the Jesus movement in the 1960s, 1970s. And now God's raised them up, and there's these leaders that they came into the Lord in a season of revival. And it's now they're leading, and it's just awesome. But I want to encourage you to watch it, because not only it will inspire you, but I think it'd be good because it's a great way to just get educated on what Jesus did in this move of God. Here's why I think that matters. Because I suspect that we're actually in the beginning of another Jesus movement, like right now. Like I really, time will tell. But honestly, like even... I just want to show you some things. Like, God's doing so much all over the earth. There's no way, if we stayed here all day long, if I had the ability to chronicle every significant move of the Spirit that's happening in the earth, and we stayed here all day, I could not cover them all to tell you about all of them. But I just want to give you an idea. Like, God is just moving powerfully, even in our midst. Like, Autumn just had people raise their hands just in the last, what'd you say, year? Who have come to the Lord or come back to the Lord. I mean, God is moving. It feels like almost every week there's some new thing, new person who's come to the Lord or something like that, or just had this encounter with God. And I feel like it's just the beginning. But I want to show you a little bit. I want to show you this trailer. I want to encourage you to go see this movie. And so make sure the volume's on, and then go ahead and push play.
Hey, Square.
I am not a square. I
think we should invite Greg this weekend.
What's this weekend? The
mountain is high. How are we doing, Southern California?
These people are hippies, rebels against old-fashioned authority.
I think these kids need help.
What they need is a bath.
You're passing judgment on people you know nothing about.
Maybe that's why your church is so empty.
When God walks in here, brings me a hippie, I'll ask him what it's all about, because I do not understand.
This house has a very good vibe. There is an entire generation searching.
Slow down, man, slow down.
Just in all the wrong places. If you want to reach my people, you need to speak to them in a language they understand.
If I bring them in, I'm going to lose my job.
We can only walk through doors open to us. In your church, that's a door that's shut.
Probably noticed we have some guests here today. I'd like you to meet my new friends. Welcome.
They don't belong here. Half of them aren't even wearing shoes.
They're staining the new shag carpet.
They need our help. If you feel like you're misunderstood and judged, you will find forgiveness and freedom right here.
That was awesome.
Now that door is open any time of day. And if there are some who don't like that, well then that door works both ways.
All right, Pastor, let's begin.
I was almost done with this, but then you did what nobody else would even dare.
This thing that we found, I feel like I belong.
You're gonna need a bigger church.
Country is a dark and divided place, but now there's hope and it's spreading.
This is your home, and I want you to tell all your friends about it.
Oh man, I wish I could watch it again right now. So good. I love that movie. I just encourage you to do it because, anyway, I think it'd be helpful. And then go ahead and get the next video ready, the Asbury one. I just want to show you, you know, and this is like just different, like God is moving in our country. You know, you guys all know about the outpouring of the Spirit that's happening at Asbury. And I'm just going to show you a little video of that. So you can just minimize that, drag the Asbury video over. Okay, so I just want to show you a little bit of this. This is like, it was a chapel service, normal chapel service at this seminary. And then the Spirit started moving, and students just lingered after service ended, and they just kept praying and kept worshiping. And then it kept going and going, like for week after week after week. And then people, word started getting out on social media that the Spirit was just being poured out and lives were being changed. And people started traveling there to go encounter the Lord. I showed you a video last week. There was just, like, literally the city is a small little town. It was overrun. I think there were like 20,000 people in the city or something who had just heard that God was moving. I'm telling you, there is such a hunger for God, for something real that's in the earth right now. And when the Spirit starts moving, the gospel's proclaimed, people will come. And so this is just a little sample of spontaneous worship happening at this revival. So you can hit play. You can pause it and do the next one up. I just wanted to show you a little sample of it. And then you do the next one, the one at Texas A&M. So that's happening at Asbury. And then it started to break out not only at Asbury, but all these different places throughout our country, like Lee University in Tennessee. I heard Baylor University was one. I mean, it's a bunch of them. I don't even know them all. This is at Texas A&M. Guess what state? Oh, you guys are smart. Yeah, didn't you go to Texas A&M? Or? Yeah, this is a Texas. So that's cool. Oh, whoop. So it's cool. That's awesome. So this is at Texas A&M, and these are just pictures. You can just kind of, that a people gathered worshiping, the Spirit breaking out. Go ahead and hit the next picture. This is outdoors, spontaneous, students just gathering to seek the Lord, and God starts moving. Kids start repenting, giving their life to Jesus again. Go ahead and hit the next picture. The next one. Six hours. So several nights in a row, they were gathered for like 6 hours just worshiping and repenting of sin. This one is? Wow. Okay. I wondered if that was the football stadium. That is incredible. Hit the next picture. The students praying for each other. Next one. And is there another one? Okay, then it's back to the beginning. Yeah, and then they're having baptisms there, or just kids getting saved, giving their lives to the Lord. This is happening in a bunch of different places right now. And then you can put that one down and get the next one up. This would be the last one I show. The next one is the one in, yeah, the one that you haven't shown yet. The next one is in Jerusalem. I want you to see, those are messages that people are sending me. Oh, don't push play yet. This is, okay, Acts chapter 2. I've been here. When I toured Jerusalem, when I was in Israel on a tour, you know, you look at like, you're in the old Jerusalem. You got the wall, the Wailing Wall, and then there's like the old Temple Mount, and then There's the upper room from Acts chapter 2 where the Spirit was poured out. And it's just tours go through there all day long. You just kind of go through and you're like, okay, this is the room where the Spirit was poured out in Acts 2. Now, that's what they say. Who knows if it actually was or not, but that's what they tell you. And you're like, okay, this is cool. And you're trying to imagine it. And it's just tours going through the room, okay? And then this happened recently where it says spontaneous prayer. This is tours going through. Spontaneous prayer broke out in the actual upper room in Jerusalem today. Something is happening in the earth. Go ahead and push play with the volume on. I wonder if Acts chapter 2 sounded like that. Tongues of fire, the mighty rushing wind blowing through the room. Peter stands up and preaches, and 3,000 are added to the church that day. That's good. You can turn it off and then turn the lights back on. And sweetie, can you do this for me? Thank you. We already know I shouldn't bother. I won't be able to get it. All right. God's moving. God is moving. And I just wanted to share that for several reasons. One of them is one of the prayers for my life, and this is what I prayed for my children. I'm like, God, I want to be fully engaged in any move of God that's happening in my lifetime. I don't want to, like, 50 years later, look back and say, oh my goodness, there was a massive move of the Holy Spirit happening in my day, and I wasn't even involved in it. I'm like, if God is pouring out his Spirit on the earth and there's a significant move of God, I want to be fully immersed in it. I want to be engaged in what the Lord is doing in my generation. And I pray that for my children. I'm like, God, I pray that my children would not be caught up in the demonic movements that are happening in the earth. Because how many of you know there are demonic movements that are happening in the earth? You know, the LGBTQ movement, you go on and on and on. There's many others. But these are movements of the enemy to deceive masses of people and lead them astray. But in the midst of darkness, there is light that is breaking forth, and there are movements of God where people are repenting of stuff like that and getting free from it and getting made whole in their heart through walking with Jesus. And I want to participate in those movements. Amen. So here's what I want to talk to you about today. Why is God doing it? What does God want? What is he looking for? Why does he pour out his Spirit like this on the earth and save people who are like me, like all of us? You know, we all have a story. We were all slaves to sin. All of us can have our own story about that. And we were all set free and made new through Jesus, through following Jesus. But why is God doing it? What does he want to accomplish? And I'm going to let Jesus answer the question. In John chapter 4, this is what he says. I want you guys to get this. He says, but the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Listen to this. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. That's what God is looking for. He pours out his Spirit and he makes known his mercy and his grace and the gospel, and then he looks for how we respond. He looks because he's not even worried about, you know, how, what kind of sin you're trapped in, how deceived you are. He's like, I'm not worried about that. What I'm looking for, I'm going to come to you where you're at. I'm going to make mercy available to you. I'm going to show you truth. And when I do, I'm looking for those who respond to it by letting go of the inferior pleasures of sin to take hold of the superior pleasures of knowing God. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for the response. And he's like, here's what I want. Like, God, what do you want to come out of this revival and every other revival? The Lord would say, I'm looking for true worshipers. I'm looking for those who will fall in love with me and love me wholeheartedly the way I love them wholeheartedly. That's what I'm looking for. It's like, God, what do you want from me? How can I respond to what you're doing in this season? He's like, give yourself to be one who worships me in spirit and in truth. And I just like would summarize that is be a genuine, authentic, sincere worshiper of God. Don't just be the guy who gets in the exciting meetings and jumps up with everybody else and sings the songs, but doesn't actually seek to honor God in the details of their life Monday through Saturday. Be the one who says, it's not just Sunday morning. It's not just the revival service or the Bible study. My whole life is an offering that I'm giving to the Lord. I live for his pleasure. This is why I live. And he's like, that's the person I'm looking for. True worshipers. True worshipers. Is this making sense? So let me just give you a definition of true worship. True worship, I think this is on your sheet, is the genuine desire to please God and bring him glory in all that we do. True worship is the genuine desire to please God and then to bring him glory in all that I do. So it's like, I want to please him, but you know what? I don't want to just please him. I want to bring him glory. I want everybody else to see how amazing he is. Like, that's the heart of worship. The heart of worship is like, I don't want to, you know, the opposite is like, I want to be famous and I want everybody to see how awesome I am. But the heart of worship is like, I don't want people looking at me. I want them to see what Jesus is doing in my life and see how glorious and amazing he is so that they can know him too and that they can live a life that brings him pleasure and glory. I want to see Jesus made famous in all the earth. That's what I want to see. And that's the heart of worship. He's like, I'm looking for true worshipers. It's the genuine desire to please him and to bring him glory. This includes giving God our best. I love this so much. Giving God our best in the task that we are doing, whatever it is, and in the attitude in which we perform it. I just want you to hear that. I'm gonna talk about this, but I want you to get it. It's two things. How do I please God? Whatever you do, I mean, literally, whatever. Not just your worship time and when you're praying, but when you're working, when you're cooking meals for your children, when you're shoveling snow again. Paul says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. To what end? As working for the Lord, not for men. He also said, Proverbs 16:3. This is what Solomon wrote. Commit to the Lord whatever you do. I mean, that's everything. When you're resting, do it unto the Lord in a way that pleases him and brings him glory. When you're playing and having fun, do it unto the Lord in a way that pleases him and brings him glory. When you're relating to your wife or your husband, your children, your parents, do it unto the Lord as an offering. Because a lot of times we think of worship, we think it's the 30 minutes we sing songs to God on Sunday mornings. Or the time in my day that I set apart to sing songs to God and tell him how much I love him. That is an expression of worship. But actually, a true worshiper, worship is a way of life. It's 24/7. It's not that you're singing 24/7. It's not that you're saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, I praise you, you're awesome, you're worthy, I love you, you're awesome, you're worthy. It's not that you're doing that every second. It's that whatever you do, you're being intentional about, I want to do this in the way that you like it. For your pleasure. To bring you glory. And he says, that is like an offering. It's like a pleasing fragrance. It's an aroma of genuine worship that moves my heart. I love it. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink, anybody eat? Yep. So praise God. So it's not just fasting, how we worship God. We worship him with eating. And we worship him with drinking. Whether you eat or drink, here it is, or whatever you do, do it all. Why? For the glory of God. Colossians 3:17, here's that phrase again. And you say it with me. Whatever you do. Everybody say, whatever you do. Whether in word, the things you say, or in your deeds, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. Isn't that good? So hang with me on this. Everybody has responsibilities, right? You have a job. You have kids to take care of. Kids, you have homework. You have chores, hopefully. You have just things that are on your to-do list. Everybody has responsibilities. Ministry responsibilities. You're discipling somebody. You're meeting with them, etc. Household chores. Church, whatever. Now here's the deal. All of us have responsibilities, but here. You can do them as a duty, because you have to do them. Or you can do them as an offering to the Lord. You're going to do them. You can do them and just go through the motions and do it. I have to do this. And do it as a duty. And it's like, okay, you did it. That's your reward. Or you can do it as an offering to the Lord. You know what? I have to do this. If I do, I'm going to do it with all my heart. I'm going to do it unto God as an offering that pleases him. And so here's the deal. You know what the difference is between the doing it as a duty or an offering? The difference is the attitude. The difference is the attitude. I remember we were on a family vacation. And we were driving along in our car. Our kids were in there, back seat. My wife was in the front seat. We're just driving along. Nothing super special happening. Literally, we're just driving along on to the next stop on our family vacation. And we were just enjoying each other as a family. We were having a good time. We were relaxing. It was super blessed. And I remember just driving along, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me. And he says, Jeff, you know what? He says, this is holy to the Lord. What you're doing right now, loving your wife, loving your children, building memories with them, this is holy to me. Remember God just saying, like, you know what? He says, I love this. I love this. He's like, I'll bless this all day long. I love you just enjoying your wife. I love you enjoying your children. I love watching them enjoy you. I will invest. I put your family together. And I'll invest in your family all day long with joy in my heart. It says, I love this. I love it when you're close. I love it when you love one another. I love it when you have fun together. It's whatever you do, even vacation, just do it to the Lord in a way that pleases him. Now, how many of you know we could do things in a way that doesn't please him? Right? There can be a conflict between you and your wife. That's part of being married. Any relationship, I don't care who the two people are, there's going to be moments of conflict, right? Okay, So now it's like part of the responsibility is you're committed to one another, to having that strong relationship, is you're going to work through this conflict together. But you can do it in a way with the attitude of like, man, she just made me mad, and I am going to make sure that I'm not going to put up with that again. Or you can do it like, man, that is hindering the intimacy and the trust between us, and I'm committed to making this be a healthiest relationship it can be to bring God glory. Holy Spirit, how would you want me to go about this conversation? Help me to do it in a way that's honoring and loving. It's truthful and it's honest, but it gets to a resolution and we come out of the conversation feeling on the same page, in love with one another, not angry at one another. It's, we got to do stuff, but we can do it unto the Lord in a way that pleases him, and then it's an offering of worship that he delights in. You guys getting this? I want to read a scripture. What, I want to answer the question, what kind of offering pleases God? And there's all these passages. I love these passages. There's tons of them in the Bible where God is actually rebuking his people. And because he's like, and he actually says, I think it's on Isaiah chapter 1, where he says, stop bringing meaningless offerings. You know why? Because they were going through the outward motions of religion, and they were bringing their sacrifices to the temple, and they were giving these offerings to God. But then they would go out, and they would live in disobedience to his commands, and they would oppress other people for their own selfish gain, and they were corrupt, and they were just living this sinful life that oppressed people and that dishonored the Lord. But then they're like, oh, you know, it's Sabbath. It's like, oh, it's that time of the year for this feast. Let's go. We got to bring our offering to the Lord of worship. And the Lord's like, shut the doors of the temple. Like, I can't handle it anymore. Because you're bringing me these offerings that I take no delight in. Because your heart isn't in it. You're going through religious motions. Do you think I care about your cow? Do you really think I care about your little grain offering and some smoke that comes up because you set it on fire? I don't care about that. What means something to me, it's your heart of devotion that inspires you to give it. That's what moves my heart. And the heart of devotion isn't there. You're going through the motions to appear to everybody else. Look, I'm a good religious person. But I know you're not even trying to live for me. And then you go out and you oppress everybody and you mistreat them and you're unfaithful to your spouse and all this kind of stuff. You dishonor your parents. He's like, listen. And then he tells them, Isaiah 58, Isaiah 1. There's so many passages where he does this over and over again. And he'll tell them, he's like, here's what I want you to do. I want you to repent. I want you to go and start treating people the right way, the way I taught you. Love them the way I taught you to love them. Do it every day in your life, and then you bring me these offerings, and I delight in it. And in Genesis chapter 4, we have a story of two different men. One who both of them brought God an offering. One of the offerings God delighted in, and he accepted. The other offering, he didn't delight in it, and he rejected it. So it's like, what kind of offering does God accept? What is he looking for? Let's read it. Now, Adam had sexual relations with his wife, Eve, and she became pregnant. And when she gave birth to Cain, she said, with the Lord's help, I have produced a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother and named him Abel. And when they grew up, Abel became a shepherd while Cain cultivated the ground. And it was when it was time for the harvest, listen to the language. Listen to the way this is worded. Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift. Listen to this. The best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. You seeing the difference? The Lord accepted Abel in his gift, but did not accept Cain in his gift. What's the difference? One guy, he's like, okay, good. I'm getting this wealth. Good. I'm glad. That's, you know, things are going pretty well here. Good. I'm glad about that. He's like, oh, dude, I have to give God an offering. I have this obligation. I'm required. I got to go give an offering. And so he's like looking over all this stuff. And he's like, okay, I got to give God an offering. Just grab something and go here. And his attitude of heart, he's just going through the motions. This we're checking off some religious box. And God's like, keep your grain. I don't accept it. I reject it. But Abel, totally different mindset. He's like, man, look how the Lord has blessed my flock. Thank you, Lord. It's like, man, I want to just go give God something to say thank you and show my gratitude for how he has blessed me. And he's like, you know what? I'm not just going to pick any lamb. Give him the best. Give him the best one, like the firstborn. You know, the firstborn is a big deal because, you know, you're waiting as a shepherd. You're waiting for that next generation of the lambs to come forth. And sometimes it's like your livelihood is depending upon this. So the first one comes forth. It's like, well, how do I really know for sure that there's going to be more that come after it? But it's like, I'm not waiting. I'm giving him my best, my very first. And he takes the first and he takes the very best and he gives it to the Lord. And that's the attitude of heart that God says, love it. Moves my heart. Why did God accept Abel's offering but reject Cain's offering? Because Cain brought his offering to the Lord, but it seems as though he was simply going through the motions to fulfill a religious duty. Isn't that easy to slip into? Oh, I got a tithe now. I have to go to church today. I don't feel like it. I'm tired. Here I am, God. Ugh. I guess I got to, whatever your responsibility is, I have to go to school. I hate school. Don't you hate school? Yeah, we all hate school. That's why the Lord's not delighting in any student's offering. Unless there's the rare one that says, thank you for this opportunity, Lord. And even though I may not enjoy it, I'm going to give you my very best. Even though it may be hard for me, I'm going to give you my very best as an offering to the Lord. But you want to stand out, be that kind of person. I'm serious. I have to go to work today. I hate work. I don't like my boss. It's so boring. It's so stressful. Okay, you can do that and just live your stressed out, boring life. Or you could be like, I get to do this. The Lord blessed me with an opportunity to make money. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, it's not perfect. Yeah, there are hardships in it. But you know what? Thank you. There's also blessing in it. And Lord, help me to give you my very best. Not cutting corners. My boss will never know. Nobody else really does it the right way anyway. They're not going to say anything. It's like, no. I'm going to do it the right way because I'm not doing it for my boss. And I'm not doing it for the other people to climb the ladder. I'm doing this for God. And he sees how I do it and why I'm doing it the way I'm doing it. I'm doing it as an offering. And the Lord says, acceptable, pleasing fragrance. That's a true worshiper. You guys with me? And you can fill in all the responsibilities and duties. We all have them. And let's be real. A lot of them are difficult. A lot of them aren't fun. But I'd much rather do it with an attitude of worship that there'll be blessing and reward I'll receive forever for it than just going through the motions of doing it and get nothing for it. You guys with me? Whole life is an offering to the Lord. I remember I already think I said that one. This actually brings such freedom in your heart to enjoy God no matter what's happening in life. You know that many times our happiness and our joy is tied to external factors. So if my marriage is going really happy right now, it's like, woohoo, this is awesome. my kids are doing good, if I really like my job, if I'm prospering, if I'm whatever's happening, if I'm in good health and all this kind of stuff, woohoo, then I have joy. But then if those things aren't going good, but you know how much, or we gauge our success by how we're doing outwardly, because that's how the world does it. The world looks at your external production and they judge you whether you're a success or failure. The Lord doesn't look at that because external production comes from the Lord. It's a blessing. He can give, he can take away. But you know what? The Lord judges success. He looks at your internal heart. Heart. Samuel comes. He's going to anoint King David. God's like, I'm done with Saul. I'm getting a man after my own heart who actually has a heart of worship. He'll do what pleases me. Samuel comes to anoint. David's got all these brothers. And Samuel's like, which one is it, Lord? He's like, maybe this one. This guy's really handsome. He looks successful. Everybody would look up to him. He's charismatic. Lord's like, nope. He's like, oh, okay. What about this second born? He looks good too. He's handsome. He looks like he's got his act all together. He's really sharp. He's got a good intellect. He could probably motivate people and rally people. Lord's like, nope. Goes through all of them. Samuel's like, what's up, Lord? Which one is it? And the Lord says this. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. So Samuel, I ain't looking at all that. I don't need his charisma. I don't need his gifts. I don't care how much education he has. I don't care how brilliant he is in motivating and rallying people. I can give him all those gifts. You know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for a man after my own heart who will do what pleases me. Then David, he's just tending the sheep out in his field. Obscure. It's this youngest child, it's the duty you get. When you're the youngest one in the family, you sit in the field. You're the one who has to go mow the lawns, you know, whatever it is. But you know what? David's doing it. He could do it begrudgingly because he has no choice, or he can do it as an offering. And he sat out there in that field and he worshiped the Lord. And he wrote Psalms that we read today. God's like, these offerings from David move my heart so much, I'm going to put them in the book because I want other people to be moved by these like they move me. And then a lion comes to attack the sheep. David risks his life to fight the lion. I mean, honestly, I don't know if I would have done that. Especially with a sling and a stone. I mean, give me a rifle, high-powered, possibly. But, you know, I'm like, God, take the sheep. You know, I mean, I'm more valuable than the sheep. That's what I'd be thinking. But David's just like, no. I mean, he took it serious. It wasn't even his sheep. It was his dad's. But he's doing it to the Lord. So he takes it seriously, and he risks his life, and the power of the Spirit is on him, and God gives him this great victory. And God's like, that's who I want. True worshipers. That's what he's looking for. You know who's going to be ruling the nations with Jesus in the age to come? Those who are true worshipers in this age. I'm telling you, the greatest promotion is coming at the judgment seat of Christ. When the hearts and the motives of all people are revealed, because God is paying attention. And there's those of us now, we have this obscure little assignment. You're like, I'm a stay-at-home mom. Nobody sees me. My kids don't even appreciate me 90% of the time. But I keep doing it because I do it unto the Lord. It's an offering, not a duty. It's an offering. I'm telling you, those people, nobody knows about them, but in eternity, Jesus is going to be like, everybody, and he's going to call them forward, and he's going to honor them in front of everyone, and he's going to promote them, and they're going to be these glorious, granted massive authority and blessing in the age to come. People are like, whoa! What in the world, Lord? Lord's like, I told you in my word what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for the flashy person. I'm not looking for the talented person. I'm looking for the devoted person, looking for the worshiper. And we can, none of us does this perfectly, but when we see it in the word, we can say, ah, I'm aiming my life at that, and we get better at it and better at it. And when we fall short, we say, God, forgive me, I'm sorry. I was just complaining at work. But Lord, I repent of that. I'm not going to complain anymore. Thank you for this job. Make me a blessing. You know what I mean? And you just get better and better and better because you see what's right and what he's looking for. And he's like, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. I remember, I'll just end with this. I remember many years ago, I think this was 2016 actually. In 2014, the Lord spoke to me super clearly. And he put it on my heart. I wanted to start disciple-making movements in our city and in our region. Where I wanted to go out and lead people, to preach the gospel to lost people, lead them to the Lord, disciple them so that they could lead other people to Jesus and disciple them, and it just kept multiplying. And I remember God put it on my heart, and he's like, go out and share the gospel. And I did it diligently because I knew the Lord was telling me to do it. I devoted probably hundreds of hours over a two-year period where I was just going out in the city. I was knocking on doors. I was praying for people. I would share the gospel with them. And every once in a while, it looked like something would happen, but then it would fall through. Like, I had times where I was in apartment complexes in the hallway casting demons out of people. There were people who encountered the Lord and got healed, but they wouldn't follow Jesus after it was done. And I'm like, God, you're missing the point. I'm like, Lord, I'm looking for disciples of Jesus, fruit that remains and multiplies. And I labored diligently. I shared the gospel. I don't even know how many hundred times. And then finally, after 2 years, I had a few people who looked like they were going to continue on and follow Jesus. And I was like, finally, I'm getting some traction here. Let's see this thing start going. And I'm discipling them. And in 1 week, every single one of those people contacted me in one way or another and said, thanks, but no thanks. I don't really want to do this anymore. And I remember when the last one contacted me, I was at a vulnerable moment because I was training for a marathon. And I was on one of my very long training runs, which is exhausting. And I'm on the run, and it's warm outside, and I'm running, and I get a text message, and I look at it. Thanks, Jeff, but I don't want to meet anymore. I'm going to go do my own thing. And it was like in 1 week, it was the last one. And it hit me when I was like really tired from my run, you know, because you get to those breaking points in those long training runs for marathons when you're like, why am I doing this? I'm done. I'm going to quit. I'm not finishing. And it's a mental battle. And I'm like, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And then I get this massively discouraging thing right in the middle of that run. And I was tempted in that moment to feel discouraged. And the thought that came to my mind was this tempting thought, like, why did I do it? Like, I wanted to just complain to the Lord. Like, God, I gave you 2 years. I've spent hundreds of hours sharing the gospel with people, discipling people. I'm like, but why? It's all a waste. I have nothing to show for it. And that's kind of the thoughts that started to go in my mind when the Holy Spirit interrupted my thoughts. And he asked me a question. He says, Jeff, why did you do it? And immediately, I just said, Lord, because I love you. Because I know you died for those people and you love those people and you want them to have the opportunity to come into the kingdom of God. I did it because I love you. And then he looked at me and I could feel his smile and he says, then it wasn't a waste. Jesus is worthy of our labor. How do you feel as a parent when you're like, man, I gave my very best. I got up at night. I taught them the way they should go. And it looks like they're not doing it. They're living in rebellion. They're making horrible choices. It was all a waste. The Lord's like, why did you do it? And if we did it as worship unto the Lord, it's not a waste. Jesus said, I'm looking, this is what the Father, pouring out my spirit, and I'm wanting to raise up a billion soul bride in the earth who are true worshipers that worship me in spirit and in truth. Not just in, I mean, yes, in singing the songs. We've been preaching this whole series about lift those hands in the air, dance before the Lord, sing the songs. I mean, express your praise to God, but at the heart of it. At the heart. Why do we do that? That's just an expression of the love and the gratitude that's in our heart to God. And that's why we don't just sing the praises. We live a life of worship in everything that we do. And that's what pleases the Lord. Amen? And that's what we're aiming for. And in those that are coming to get saved and we're discipling them, that's how we're teaching them. We're teaching them to be true worshipers. Amen? Why don't you guys stand with me? The greatest commandment, Jesus said. How many of you know there's a lot of commands in the Bible? Like probably thousands. Somebody asked Jesus, they're like, of all the commandments, which one is the greatest? Jesus says, the most important, the greatest commandment. You do this one, and you'll actually fulfill all the other thousands just by doing this one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And I was praying that to the Lord one time. I'm like, God, how do I love you with all my heart, with all my soul? How do I practically do that on a daily basis? And I remember the Holy Spirit just put this in my heart. He says, Jeff, give me all of your attention. Give me all of your affection. Give me all of your devotion. I express love for God by purposely removing distractions and setting my heart and my mind on Him and gazing upon Him and worshiping. That's why I read the Bible every day. That's why I pray every day. It's because I'm giving Him my attention. I'm listening. That's why as I go through my day, even when I'm working, I like to just take a few seconds to take a break and just stop and just turn the eyes of my heart toward Him and just say, I love you. I'm looking at you. This is for you. And then go about your task. Give Him all your attention. Give Him all your affection. How do you love God? Express affection. I love you. Say, I love you. I think you're beautiful. I love your holiness. I love you for your wisdom. I love your righteousness. I love your mercy. I love your patience. I love your Father's heart. I love everything about you. Express affection to Him. And then give Him all your devotion. There's a spirit of devotion that we serve the Lord, because there's times when He commands us to do things that are not fun. It's difficult. It's not appealing to your flesh. Your flesh says, uh-uh, I don't want to do that. And we say, no, I serve Him with a spirit of devotion. He is first, and I obey Him and not my flesh. That's why I don't live in sexual immorality. And the flesh is like, come on, live in sexual immorality. And no, why? I live with a spirit of devotion. I say no to sexual immorality. I deny myself and take up my cross and follow Him, because it's an expression of worship, a spirit of devotion. It's how we express our love to God. So I just want to sing to Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Hallelujah, hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Hallelujah, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. You are holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Sing worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Amen. Jesus, you are worthy of all our attention. There's nothing and no one that's as lovely and as beautiful as you are. You are worthy of all of our affection. I love you more than my wife. I love you more than my children. I love you more than my career. I love you more than my favorite hobbies. I love you more than myself. And I love you, God. You are worthy, Jesus, of all of our devotion. Lord, we set our hearts to serve the Lord when it's fun and when it's hard, because you are worthy of the offering. Lord, I just pray that you would strengthen our worship, that we would be true worshipers who worship you in spirit and in truth every day, every moment of our lives. Let it be pleasing. Every word we speak, even idle conversations, God, let us be conscious of, I want to speak words that build people up. I want to speak words that bring you glory. Father, I just pray that you would help us to grow in this skill, this grace of living a life of worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. All right. Love you guys. Thanks for coming. Have a good day.